Hi, I'm Christine and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for allowing me to sh share and be your speaker today. Thank you, Iris, for asking me. I don't get spe asked to speak very often, so for me to ill at ease in the for today, that's funny because I wrote that like that's ill at ease. I feel ill at ease, and when I think about that feeling, I'm like, does that mean that I haven't fully embraced some of my steps, namely 2 and 3? Have I come to believe that there's a power in myself that can restore me to sanity? In other words, can I be normal and talk to a small group of people? Have I turned my will and my life over to the care of my higher power as I understand my higher power, to carry me through this? And I'm like, yeah, I think my higher power is with me. My higher power is going to let me feel all my feelings and be with me while I'm in them and be with me when they leave. I don't think I'm unique in this regard of feeling ill at ease. It's not unusual to feel awkward when talking to people, especially if you identify in like I do, and I tend to prefer isolating. So, hey, ill at ease, bring it on. And not feeling unique, because I'm not feeling unique is kind of my jump off point. So I started coming to OA in mid-January of 2024. And a few weeks of daily meetings, listening to fellows, and beginning to read the big book, there was something on page 10 of the big book that stuck with me. And it definitely hammered on the point that I'm not unique. And I'm going to misquote it horribly. You would think I would have prepared a little bit more, but it's Bill W. And I think he's recounting when he's drunk at this point. And he's talking about his spirituality. And it's something to the effect of, I was not an atheist. Few people really are, for it means strange or blind faith in the strange proposition that this world originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. Dot, dot, dot. I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation. And there was something that hit me when I was reading it. Like the takeaway was the universe is vast and full of endless possibilities, and I'm not unique. And I don't know why that came up when I read it, but it did. And I took it as a good thing. Because I think for a long time before I came to program, not I think, I know for a long time before I came to OA that I felt uniquely horrible in how I acted, how I never grew up, that I never got it together. I had all kinds of weird behaviors. I was a walking study in the bedevilments, the on page 52. Personal relations, emotional nature, misery, depression, couldn't make a living. Felt useless, fear, unhappy, couldn't be of real service. That all tracked true for me. I felt uniquely awful. But for some reason, that reading and the meetings and the fellowship, it hit me. I'm not unique. And that's a good thing. Because if I'm not unique and I'm with these people that have been in this program and they've recovered, if I'm here and I have the book and I'm looking at it and I'm following this man's words, reading this Bill W's words. I get to recover too if I do what the book says to the best of my ability. So I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. To that point, could a unique fellow recover? Sure, I guess if they're willing, but I don't know because I'm not unique. I'm just I steal a lot from this program. I'm another bozo on the bus. I say I'm recovering. I don't say I'm recovered. I listen to a lot of the OA Vision for You podcasts, and in one of them, they broke down the difference between daily reprieve, recovering, and recovered. And on the daily reprieve, we get it because of the maintenance of our spiritual condition based on us working the steps. And again, another stolen thought, recovery is liquid. We have to continuously work at it in order to hang on to it, right? Otherwise, like it evaporates or it slips through our fingers. And having a spiritual connection on which we can rely makes it possible, right? Makes, what is it? Many hands make light work, something like that. And I think about that, and I do work as best as I'm able every day to maintain recovery. Recovering is you're working towards those promises on page 83 and 84. And recovered is that the promises have come true for you. And I went through the promises like, are they true for me? Do I know a new freedom and a new happiness? I feel better in my body for sure, and better in my soul. But I'm new in program. I haven't even been in for 16 months, so I've got a lot to learn. I'll probably like listen to this a year from now. I'm like, oh, how cringy, but hopefully I'll forgive myself. And so not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. My past is what got me here, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but I can't lie. I do regret my past. I wish I hadn't acted the way I did. Comprehend the word serenity and no peace. I get pocket to that. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Well, I've recently started sponsoring again, so we'll see if it works out. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. That one might be true. I don't really benefit from self-pity, and I have operated like a professional victim for too many years, and it's not worked out well. The uselessness one, we're working on that one. We'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I'm very human. I'm still kind of selfish, but I'm very interested in people and definitely in the fellows in this program. I'll never be able to repay the debt to how many people have helped me in this program. Self-seeking will slip away. Working on that one. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. That one might be true. I find I'm a lot less interested in looking for fault or reasons to be angry. It's not interesting. It's actually kind of boring. And I'm grateful. I mean, I still have that propensity, but it's just less. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That's getting better. I still got miles to go. We'll intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. My best recourse is to pick up a phone when I'm troubled, and we'll suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That one might be true. Things have happened. Grace has been received that I didn't deserve. Things that should have been hard were a lot less hard. It just kind of bizarre things that just don't make any sense wound up working out. But even though I don't say recovered, I sponsor. According to this One Vision for You podcast, you're supposed to sponsor when the promises are true for you. And I'm like, if I waited for all those promises to be really where I'm like, yeah, that's true for me, I would never sponsor. And I think about other Vision for You podcasts, and it sounds like there's this imperative. You must sponsor. You have to give it away. Step 12. Even though they don't say sponsor expressly in the big book, I gather that is was the name of the game is you've got to be helpful. And I also think that, hey, this book, big book, was written by drunks for drunks, so it couldn't be anything that complex. All right, so I have to put my imaginary naysayers aside and just be of service to anybody who would actually want someone like me to be with them on their journey through the steps. And if I think about the threefold illness, right, the physical, emotional, and spiritual, my physical's doing all right one day at a time. My emotional, spiritual, they're progressing. So I figured that's going to be like the green light. Go ahead, try and sponsor, see how it goes. And let's see what else. And I work in earnest to say to myself many times each day, thy will be done. I don't know who my God is. I just know it's working. I think I've heard it on a, I, no, I think I know I heard on a spiritual, a Vision for You podcast. I experience God constantly. So what does any of this have to do with food? That's how I got here. I come from a family of people who have struggled with their weight. My mom and my grandmother were my primary caregivers, and they were morbidly obese. There's this picture of my family that I wish I had, but I can't ask for it because the only reason would be to demonstrate this is where I come from. It's like my whole family, you can tell they struggled. And it just wouldn't be a nice reason to ask for the picture. There wasn't a on my and my mom and my like I said, my mom and my grandmother were my primary caregivers. And there was not in my that lineup and that bloodline a lot of alcohol or drug use. Matter of fact, I was the alcohol and drug user. I was able to let those go without too much of anything. Cigarettes were a lot harder. Like, I think I was a dry drunk by cigarettes and then hello food. So it's always food with my family. My mom and my grandmother were great cooks. Like if you knew me and you knew my mom and grandma, we were probably talking about food. And they did one thing right with me. I mean, they probably did a lot of things. It feels weird to say something nice about myself. But I want to give them credit. They did right things. They were loving, a lot of love. They would also adopt the idea of take what you like and leave the rest when it came to food. So I was never shamed over food. In fact, I was encouraged because I was such a good eater and I was so adventurous. Like it was a nice identity because I struggle with identity. I've been diagnosed, and I think as a many years ago, with having borderline personality disorder. I think now, if you meet me today, I'm probably one of the easier borderline personality disorders to be around. I still have some of the manifestations like fear of rejection and abandonment and the lack of identity, but hey, it's getting better. A lot of therapy and 12-step really, really helps with that. Mom and grandma, take what you like, leave the rest. But the portions were huge and they were delicious. So sometimes I'd eat a little, sometimes I'd eat a lot. And that was my whole life. And we ate in front of the TV. So my religion growing up was food and TV. We called ourselves Christian, but I went to church a handful of times. I don't think we did anything particularly Christian. I'm going to skip through a bunch of stuff in my life. But just know I've done some seriously awful things. Like I was, and I did it based not knowing at the time, but that I was the victim of the world. So, hey, the world's getting payback. Like I looked at the Ten Commandments, and in some way, I feel like, and not feel like, I broke everyone. So, coming in and operating as an adult with lots of baggage, bad choices, worry, shame, blah, 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 blah. You wouldn't have wanted to be in my head. You wouldn't want to be me. On the exterior, I probably looked okay, a little overweight. But inside, it sucked. I sucked. And then something happened in 2023. I didn't have a lot of friends to begin with, and the last ones moved. And I started eating, grazing constantly, like one giant nonstop meal. And I wasn't brushing my teeth. I wasn't taking good care of myself. And I'm married. And like, I couldn't be more isolated from my husband if I tried. I gain enough weight to where I outgrow my clothes. Not that they're tight, that I have to go buy new clothes. And I don't want to stop. Like, something broke. I've dieted successfully one time before. And until it didn't, I stopped dieting and I gained all the weight back and then some, just like in the big book with the alcohol. I didn't have another diet in me, and honestly, I don't know how people repeatedly diet. When I think about my eating patterns growing up, I would restrict and binge, and I never called it that. That's just how I ate. Like, and I never was anorexic. Like, I think I may have one or two times in my entire life where I went without eating for 24 hours. I've always eaten, but sometimes I'd eat a little bit, and sometimes I'd eat a lot. And then there was a bout in high school and definitely in college where I practiced bulimic practices. And it worked in college, like I did it a lot. And then eventually it just faded away. So I've always just grappled with a little overweight, normal, overweight, normal, blah, blah. But this was blowing that out. And I knew a diet wasn't going to work. Like I knew this thing's broken and this thing's broken. And luckily, my mom, who had been morbidly obese, found OA. And then eventually she wound up going to see how because she felt like she needed to treat food like a prescription. She had lost 150 pounds. So I knew about OA. So driving to with my husband up to visit family in 2023, I have candy in my hand and I'm eating it. And I don't even particularly like the candy. And my mouth feels gross. And I'm like, what am I doing? Put it down. 5 minutes later, it's back in my hand. And I honestly do not remember picking it up, it's just there. And I'm like, what the heck is going on with me? And so, right at that point, I look for an OA meeting. And I don't go right away. So, there's still a couple more weeks of me eating a loaf of bread every couple of days, box cookie every day, still eating. But I finally get to an OA meeting. And I immediately felt like I came home. And by the end of 2020, or by the end of January, this crazy thing happens. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to be willing to give up sugar. And I just, for me, that cracked me up because, like, I was in OA, nothing, there's nothing in OA that says you have to give up sugar, but a lot of people do. And I was listening to the meetings and people talk about like 20 years of sugar abstinence. So I'm like, that's crazy. crazy. You can't give up sugar. Come on. What? You gotta have sugar sometimes, right? Right? No. At least not this kid. So, the sugar and flour were removed from me for now, one day at a time. I get a daily reprieve. And because also I am a horribly flawed person, I'm also dishonest. So, I still found ways to sub in that craving. And I didn't mean it, it just happened. And it was only through talking through somebody in program that I realized, like, oh, wow, I've really started eating a lot of almond and sugar-based products. So, hey, I've got this great idea. I'm going to give up almonds and sugar entirely. Holy Moses. I think only people in OA would understand this. I felt like I was going through withdrawals. Now, I don't want to discredit like somebody going through serious like chemical withdrawals, but it felt awful. And the overarching feeling was anxiety. And I've never thought of myself as being an anxious person. And I'm like, it sucked. I called out sick for work. Like it was, I'm like, I'm not being overdramatic. Like this stuff's real. And luckily, there's a lot of smart people in program, and I wound up just dumb lucking and calling one of them. And they're like, "Have you ever tried talking to your anxiety?" I was like, "No, I didn't even think I had it." And so I wound up doing something akin to a two-way prayer. You know, the practice of you write out to, you know, write what's going on for you to God. You pause, God writes you back. And I did it with my anxiety because I figured my anxiety's trying to tell me something. And for whatever reason, that practice, it slowed me down, and the feeling passed, and it worked, and it also educated me. I have feelings. And they pass. And boy, did I have feelings around nine steps, lots and lots of fear, and whoa, so much stuff. But I got through them and the feelings passed. And I still 10 steps, so because I still make mistakes and I still have to make amends. And I'm like, ah, oh, crap, I did not act well. So lots of fear, embarrassment, shame, or not maybe so much shame, guilt. Yeah, but it passes. But what's funny, the thing I grapple with more than those feelings is when somebody's nice to me after that, like the grace. I'm like, the grace makes me feel so uncomfortable, like I don't deserve it. Like if any point I want to eat, it's right there. But luckily, my higher power is keeping me from that and fellowship. Hope. My program is so reliant on hope. Sorry, my headset's getting caught here. I have hope on three things, and I hope to God they never falter. And that's my abstinence, because that's my access to my higher power. That's how I can feel that my higher power is working through me, right? Because if I'm in the food, I'm blocked off. It's not quite as clear. My higher power hanging out with me, being with me. And I got to constantly work on that, constantly check in. And that is easier said than done. And fellowship. Like I'm now finding I need to sponsor, I need to do service, I need to make outreach calls, I need to be available if anybody calls me. And without those three, all of them, like I'm in trouble. So I said I recently started sponsoring again, and I've already fumbled, and I'll fumble because I'm heavy-handed. I pray to my higher power, please rescue me and my sponsees from me. So, because I want to be people's champions, partly because I want you to like me.
Minutes.
But it's so, oh, good. 2 minutes, perfect. But most importantly, I want people to stick around, even if they don't want me as a sponsor. If you identify in, oh my gosh, please stay, because there's a gazillion other people in. Well, I don't know if there's a gazillion people in this program, but there's so many people in this program that are helpful. They're gods with skin on. And you just want to stay for that. Okay, but we're at time, so I'll get close. Hey, everybody asked for my opinion, right? Ah, okay, nobody asked. But I tend to be hard on myself, and I think others might be too. And I think that's where I'm going with my sponsoring, is that I want to watch out for the things where we're too restrictive, comparing our abstinence to others, like it's not good enough. Or this whole, I need to do, I need to do, I need to do. Like I hear that a lot, and I hear it from myself. And it's like, what if I focus on for ourselves, what we can do for a day, what's one good thing? And we move from there and we build from there and we give ourselves grace and we inch towards all those ideals, but it's still affording for grace and humanity and flexibility along the way, because we're always searching, seeking, we're always working. We're one looking, seeking that divine inspiration that guides us to the next right action, the thing that sustains us. And we do everything in our power to work all the steps, right? We pray, we meditate, which I gather back in the day just meant be quiet, be still. So cool. And carry the message. And I think with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks for letting me share.